Good morning. It is a wonderful privilege to stand here and to look out in your faces this morning. I sense a sense of excitement and just a high spirit of what God has in store for us here this morning. Brother Ray has asked that we turn to Psalms chapter 63, the first six verses. Psalms chapter 63, verses 1 through 6. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. With these words on our hearts, let's kneel for prayer.
I want to say good morning to each of you. The last time I preached on Sunday evening, we looked at the subject of knowing God, the surpassing worth. Today we want to look at part two, knowing God, seek and find. In the first part we saw from Philippians 3, Paul's heart towards knowing God. Philippians 3, verse 8, indeed I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He talks about the worth of an intimate relationship with Christ. It's more than knowledge. It's more than facts. He wanted to experience Christ, experience that relationship. For part two, I want to speak a little bit more about the how to. How do we gain that intimate relationship with Christ? As I thought about it, I decided, like, we don't need any complex formula to know Christ. We don't need the seven-point formula. Because God made us to naturally desire him. A newborn baby, you don't need to teach her how to desire her parents. It comes naturally for a newborn. They want their parents. They desire to know their parents. And God created humans with this inborn desire to search after God, to desire him, to be near him, to have a relationship with him. And so for an outline, I felt led to simply look at scriptures that deal with getting to know God. And from these scriptures, we can allow God to speak to our hearts. I know he spoke to me, areas I need to improve in. So let's allow the Holy Spirit to talk to us. The first verse is Deuteronomy 4:29. So if you all want to turn to that, we're actually going to read it together then. I'm going to read it now. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. In the preceding verses, we see the prophecy that the children of Israel were going to go astray from God. They were going to leave God. But then this beautiful promise in verse 29. So we're going to read Deuteronomy 4, verse 29 together. So let's do it together. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Is this speaking to you? Have you left God? Notice the word seek. In Hebrew, it's bequash. And what it means, bequash, means to seek out, to strive after, to search out. God wants you to seek him. And we have the promise here, you will find him. But notice there is a condition. Verse 29, you will find God if you seek him with all your heart and with all thy soul. with all your heart. It's talking about everything you got, with all your soul, with your mind, will, and emotions. Only then will you find God. And as I studied this, I felt the Lord speak to me. It was as if he said, Ray, you will know me better if you put all of you into finding me. You see, we are to invest every fiber of our bodies into finding and knowing God. Brothers, think of how you have poured your heart into getting better at archery hunting. Sisters, think of how you have poured your heart into getting better at cooking. Think of all of you, think of how you have poured your heart into knowing your hobby better. Well, God is calling us in Deuteronomy 4:29 to find him and know him by pouring our heart and soul into finding him. In 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1 and 2, and the Spirit came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judea and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. I love the promise here. You will find him. It's exciting. It's a promise about knowing God. Over the years, I know people have poured their hearts into finding treasures and have never found it. But the greatest treasure of all, God, if you seek for him, you will find him. It's impossible for a person to seek with all their heart and soul and not find God. He says he will be found. Next scripture, number 2, is Psalm 14, verse 2. If you want to, I would like you all to turn to that. Psalm 14, verse 2. It says, The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. The word seek here is a different Hebrew word than the last verse. Seek here is dalrash. Now, it's a verb. It's an action word. And dalrash, it means something that occurs or happens repeatedly. It implies a high frequency of occurrence. And it can be used to describe events, actions, or situations that happen repeatedly over a short period of time. You see, this isn't about seeking God and finding God. This is about finding him and repeatedly getting to know him better. Dalrash means repeatedly pursuing him, repeatedly getting closer to him, repeatedly pouring your heart and soul into knowing him better. The question the Lord brought to my mind was, Ray, you did seek God. You did find God. But have you repeatedly, every day, every hour, tried to know me more? If God asked you this question, how would you answer him? I want to read Psalm 14, verse 2 together. So together, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand God and seek God. I remember when I was young and seeking a wife. When I was in 12th grade, I asked Sharon if she would go to homecoming with me. And she said, no. When she got to 12th grade, I did more searching. I asked her if I could take her out on a date for ice cream. I thought about that. It was kind of prophetic, asking that. And she said, yes. Seek and find. But it wasn't a mission accomplished. She was found of me, Bayquash. But after marriage, I daily needed to repeatedly try to know her better, Dalrash. Seeking Sharon, Dalrash, is a verb. It means repeatedly pursuing her, getting closer to her, repeatedly pouring my heart and soul into knowing her heart and soul. Do we Dalrash God? You sought him, Bayquash, but do you seek him continually, Dalrash? How do you answer that? The third verse is Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. If you all want to turn to that, this is a familiar verse. verses. Psalm 42, 1 and 2. As a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? We know that a hart or a deer, it longs for water. Panteth, that means for the deer, a desire based on a deep need. The deer is dry. The deer is thirsty. It needs water. And so all of the deer's body, its instincts, its desires, are pressing him towards the water, to push for the life-giving water. And what a perfect illustration of what God puts into every human. Verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? In all of us, you brothers and sisters, there's this natural instinct to seek for God, to desire his life, to desire that living water. As Jesus said in John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Jesus is calling you to pant after him, to desire him. God is saying to me, do you long to know me better? Do you, with your body, soul, and spirit, pant to know me more? Let's read Psalm 42, 1 and 2 together. So together, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? As we pant, as we long after God, as we press our bodies into drinking from the fountain, we're going to see that he is holy. His holiness will grow large. We will see he is the everlasting God, no beginning, no end. We will see him as our friend, our brother, our father. We will know him more as the door, the shepherd, the mediator between God and man. And as we, with heart and soul, repeatedly drink of him, we will see him as the Son of Man, the Son of God, as the King, the way, the truth, and the life. And in our desire will come this reverence for God, a love for God. We will want more of him. But it all starts with Deuteronomy 4:29, seek and find with all your heart and soul. And it continues with Psalm 14, verse 2, repeatedly seeking him. And it continues with Psalm 42, verse 1, a deep internal desire, a passion to want more of God. Where are we? The fourth scripture is Psalm 63, verses 1 to 6. We will going to focus most on verse 1 and 6. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I'm going to read verse 6 next. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. For David, from morning to night, it was all about finding more of God. Look at the words in verse 1. Soul, thirsty, flesh longing. Verse 2 talks about God's power and glory. Verse 3, it talks about his loving kindness. Verse 4, I will bless thee. I will lift up my hands. Verse 5, my soul satisfied. My mouth praise. His search to know God. It started in the morning and went into the night. Let's read together Psalm 63. We're going to read verses 1 and verse 6. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Do you start your mornings searching for God? Dull rush, repeatedly. Every morning, do you try to know him better? Do you think about him through the day? Do you see his power and glory and loving kindness? Does it overwhelm us? Do we lift up our hands in his name and bless God? Do we feel that satisfaction of knowing God more? Our personal devotions are such a blessed time to know him better. Scripture reveals truth about Jesus, and this truth helps us to see him and know him. And as we meditate through the day and at night, he speaks to our heart, our soul and spirit about himself. And you know, as we know him better, we will see how much different we are from him. We will be convicted of evil. We will desire to change, to repent, to be more like him. We grasp him. We know him better. And we'll say, I know that the Lord wants me to seek him morning to night. You know, if you want to know about automobiles, you have to bring an automobile to your home. You have to tear it apart and inspect it. If you want to know how to be a carpenter, you need to go to a place where you can practice, you can build, you can get hands-on experience. But to know God is different. He is seeking you out. He wants you to find him. He brings himself to you. That's how much he wants to be found. He will reveal himself in the early morning as you read his word. He will be present with you throughout the day as you meditate, begging to be found. And as you meditate on your bed, God wants to reveal himself. He wants to increase his relationship with you. A lot of times children play hide and seek. The child hides, the others seek. But God never hides. He always reveals himself to those who give their heart and soul in seeking him. It's a promise. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 29, it says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. It's a promise. The fifth scripture is Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 14. I'd like you to turn to this. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 14. For I know that the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from the nations and from all the places together, places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. The Jews were in an immense trial. They had been carried captive to Babylon. What hope did they have in this trial? They felt without hope. And here we see a message for us today with God. First, we see what we are. We are to seek God when he seems to have disappeared. We are to seek him. It seemed to the Jews that God had disappeared in their trials. Gone was the temple. Gone was their religious life. They were far from home. And in their trial, they needed reminded that God was thinking towards them. I'm going to read verse 11 from the ESV. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God was thinking good for them. God had a future of hope for them. God, in his eternal purpose, even though it seemed he had disappeared, had plans of hope. But again, notice it was conditional. It required them to seek him. It required them to pray to someone who it seemed have left them. But if they searched with all their heart, then in verse 14 it says, I will be found of you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 14, let's read them together. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your hearts. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." There are some here, probably more than I realize, you feel that God has disappeared. Maybe your captivity, your trial is cancer, that ugly six-letter word. Some of you have the trials of hurt relationships. You feel all alone, and you struggle with repetitive thoughts. You continually run thoughts and reasoning through your mind to justify or condemn someone or yourself. And the thoughts keep invading your mind, even though they weigh you down, and you don't want them. And the worst thing is, it seems like God has left you. He's gone. There are some of you in the valley of depression. Some of you are in a failed marriage. You smile. You act like everything is normal in your family. Yet you have no hope. You have cried to God for years to change him, and no answers. It seems that even God has left. Some of you have financial struggles. Some of you have a wayward child. Some of you are dealing with physical problems for many years. Each situation is different. Yet one thing is the same for many of you. You feel like God is afar off. I need to ask you to take the advice of Jeremiah 29. God says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." God is near. God has thoughts towards you. He has thoughts of hope for your future, thoughts of peace. We can't go by feelings. God has never forsaken you. Keep seeking God. Keep seeking to know him better. "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity." It's a promise. I thought of that song, little song, "Thou thinkest, Lord, of me, amid the trials which I meet, amid the thorns that pierce my feet, when thought remains supremely sweet, thou thinkest, Lord, of me." I thought we could sing that first verse and the chorus. Brother Matt, would you lead that?
Amid the trials which I meet,
we saw from Scripture, it all starts with Deuteronomy 4:29, "Seek and find with all your heart." And it continues with Psalm 14:2, repeatedly seeking him. And it continues with Psalm 14. There needs to be a deep internal desire, this passion to know God better. We saw from the fourth Scripture, Psalm 63, that we search for him morning, noon, and all day and night. And from Jeremiah 29, it taught us to seek God even when it seems like God is hiding from us. The sixth scripture is Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is a classic verse on faith. It defines some aspects of true faith. Faith requires you to believe that God exists. Faith requires you believe he will reward you for serving him and believing in him. But notice that faith also includes seeking God. Let's read Hebrews 11, verse 6 together. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Notice the topic of, it's about really seeking God. That's part of the last part. Must diligently seek him. Now there are some people, Christians, they kind of make fun of the thought of seeking God. Maybe they say, well, it's seeking God's okay for an unbeliever, an infidel. They need to seek God. Some believe maybe this subject is, maybe they call people religious fanatics. You know, they have this mystical view of God, a God that you need to experience, a God you need to look after. So they believe it's, some believe it's for religious fanatics. And they believe that Christians can just rest on their religion, just rest on their denomination. That Christians don't need to seek God. They say, you know, it's only for unbelievers and religious fanatics. But these verses seem to draw a conclusion that those with true faith will diligently seek him. Diligently seek is from one Greek word, exatheo, and it means to search out, to crave, to demand you have something. True faith involves the element of craving God, worshiping him. It includes searching for him, to know him more. Brothers and sisters, do we have symptoms of true faith? Do you diligently seek him? I mentioned when I was trying to date Sharon, but I left out some of my other diligent searching. I got the courage to call her, but no one was there. And so it wasn't easy for me to call her again. I was really shy, but I did. Again, she wasn't there. But this time there was a visitor staying at their place while her family was on vacation. So I got to talk to him. So then I searched diligently more. I called when they got home, and I asked her for a date that Friday. And she said, well, she's going to the shore with some other girls from church. So I kept searching. I was getting desperate. I asked her if I could go out with her the following Monday for our first date. And she said yes. So finally, my diligence in seeking paid off. How do we seek God? Do you really diligently search for him? Why would we not want to search diligently for God? Brothers and sisters, he died for you. He imparted the Holy Spirit in you and gave you a new nature. He sanctified you. He gives us a hope when we were hopeless. He adopted you. He is your father, your brother, your friend. It would go against all nature to not diligently seek him. Let's do it. Let's seek him diligently. The seventh and last scripture is Revelation 2, verses 2 to 5. Revelation 2, verses 2 to 5. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hath patience. And for my name's sake you have labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. It's a message to the church at Ephesus. This church, it seemed like a perfect church. In verses 2 and 3, I mean, you can put a check mark in every box. Their works, check mark. Their labor for the Lord, check mark. They can't bear with evil people. They were separate from the world and its evil works, check. They had tried them which our apostles said they were. They tested the spirits. They were discerning. They were not gullible, check mark. Verse 3, and has borne and has patient, and for my name's sake hath labored and has not fainted. They even endured persecution for his name. Again, a check. They didn't faint. They pressed on. They seemed like a perfect church. What could be wrong with a church that is good at truth, good at serving God, good in being against evil? Is there anything else they needed? Look in verse 4. Let's read verse 4 together. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. They no longer loved Jesus. They no longer sought him out. They no longer had that passion for Christ. Gone was a desire for Christ. Gone was that desire for a relationship with Christ. They had truth. They were laboring. They knew good from evil. But in all this, they had lost that spiritual fire and passion for Christ. The Spirit is asking me, Ray, you do know truth and morality, but have you sought me? Where are you? What question has the Spirit put in your mind? Nothing I said. What question has the Spirit put in your mind? Have you left your first love? He is calling Pleasant Hill to search for him with all their heart and their soul, and he promises that you will find him. Imagine two neighbors living side by side. The first neighbor sees the beauty of the sunrise. He sees the thousand hues of purple and orange and yellow. The second neighbor sees his walls, the carpet, and his tattered furniture. The first neighbor enjoys magnificent sunsets. He eagerly awaits to see the brilliant burst of color. Excitement mounts. What will it be like today? Maybe today will be the best sunset I ever saw. The second neighbor is thinking about his high electric bills, thinking about his unfair boss, and the downturn of his 401k. Two neighbors. They both have access to the same sunrise. They both have access to the same sunset. The one experiences rapture, it's rapture. The other neighbor is blind to it. He never experiences the glory of the sunrise and sunset. Two Christians who go to the same church. The first Christian experiences the presence of God many, many times throughout the day. He sees God's glory. The light of his presence warms his soul. The second Christian, he waits till Sunday and hopes for a good time. The first Christian wonders, will today be the best day of knowing God? He wants to know him more. He wants to get closer and closer to Christ. Excitement mounts. What will I learn about the riches and glory of Christ today? The second Christian is thinking about his high electric bills, his unfair boss, and the downturn of his 401k. Which Christian are you? Whoa, Christian, you need to see the sunrise. You need to see God in all his glory. He is calling you to seek him. He wants to be found. But more than that, he wants you to actively, continually to seek him. And every day he will allow you to find him more and more and more. Is today the day of a new beginning for you? We saw from Scripture that if I search for God with all my heart and soul, he will let me find him. We saw that God wants me to repeatedly, every day, seek to know him, and that I am to pant after God, desire him with all my soul. We saw that we are to search for him in the morning and all day long at night. We learned that when it seems God has left us, that we must seek him even more. We saw that true faith has the element of seeking God. And we saw that we can appear to be a great church or a great Christian. But if we don't love Jesus, we need to repent. I'd like to ask an invitation. If you'd like this change, if you want to see the sunrises and sunsets better, I'm going to give you an opportunity to stand. We'll go downstairs later. We'll have prayer together and encouragement. What number will we sing, Brother Matt? 284. Number 284.
After the message this morning, how do you view seeking God? Is it a solemn duty? Or is it a great opportunity? I was given a card, and there's a verse on one side, and the other side, a saying. And I want you to think about this, if it's true or not. Absolute surrender is not about me getting closer to God, but allowing God to get closer to me. And I thought, well, there's some good words in that saying, but how does that compare to James 4:8? Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to thee. So it requires some action on our part. And so I took the liberty to change it. Absolute surrender is about me getting closer to God and allowing God to get closer to me. One of the ways that we can seek God is to meditate on his attributes and his works. And I've chosen a prayer in conclusion that is selected verses from Psalm 104. Psalm 104, David there, or the psalmist, reiterates God's works and his attributes. And for those who are able, I'd like for you to stand at this time for the closing prayer.